If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday right here on News 104.5 WOKV from 6 until 8 a.m., I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, Certified Master Inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on Home and Garden Television and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, and we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you, your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 855-765-1045. And again, slower. 855-765-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes.
You are looking fantastic today.
Of course.
It is only right that we share with the universe, fine sir, that I am broadcasting live here from Atlanta, Georgia. You, sir, are holding down the fort in the studio in Jacksonville.
Yep.
And I am seeing you, though you're not seeing me, through the wonders of modern technology.
Amazing.
We have installed the spy camera inside the studio, and we are live streaming the video as well as the audio on Facebook at the Home Pro Inspections page. We're on YouTube at the Mr. Home Inspection page and also on my LinkedIn page. So let me share this with you, my fine friend.
Yes.
I'm watching you.
Oh, well, I'm getting a little nervous. Can you tell?
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, don't scowl at me that way. So anyway, what's happening down in Jacksonville?
Well, it's raining and hot, like always. But, I was, reading. Hey, you know what the number one selling thing at Walmart is?
Number one selling thing at Walmart.
What sells the most at Walmart?
XXL spandex pants.
No. That's clobby close. But the banana is the number one selling product at Walmart. It's amazing. Yeah, it's the number one selling. But, I was talking about bananas because I've seen so many bananas. We've had so many light winters, actually bananas are out there producing an abundance of fruit, and they're fairly easy to grow and in a cold protected area, and because the trunk has been staying alive above the top above the ground for 18 months, they need that 18 months in to stay alive, and they make a great tropical plant as well as grapefruit. The best position for bananas, if you want to grow them in, say, poolside or add them to your tropical garden, is out of the wind, because they don't like that high wind shredding their leaves. They're not going to look good.
Well, carrying that heavy load of bananas on there, and then the big and leafy as they are, I imagine that's pretty intense on the plant.
Right, but they have some beautiful color bananas that are strictly ornamental, beautiful leaves. This is great fruit. You know that the banana, we used to eat a banana called Gros Michel, which was a banana that was grown from, hybridized, right? It came from the Southeast Asia. Most all bananas are indigenous to that area. But we got the Panama disease. Most of our bananas come from South America now. Wiped them out, completely wiped out. They had to retool the whole banana industry. It just devastated them. By the time they figured out what was killing them, it was the fungus. that we were out of bananas.
Is that when they transitioned to the Cavendish?
They transitioned to the Cavendish because the Cavendish was resistant. But we're getting ready to have another transition because the Cavendish now, the fungus that attacks the Cavendish is now showing susceptibility. So they're working on it rigorously. We may have heaven forbid if Walmart was out without having bananas to sell for a couple of years until they get the next variety up and going. But they are treating. But they had to burn down every single banana tree and had burned every single field to revive the banana industry and completely do away with that banana.
How long ago was that?
I think that was around the 30s, yeah, around that area. And that really start all over again from the other banana, Gross Michael, was a better banana. It was sweeter, larger, thicker fruit. And it's the banana they used for that banana-flavored candy. That's the banana, the flavoring they used for that. But if you want to give a shot at growing bananas, in our area, it's fairly easy. It's not that difficult.
Cavendish is
called the pear banana. There's a whole group of small ones but my experience is with the Cavendish, but there's a dwarf Cavendish. But the thing it needs is good water, a good amount of fertilizer. There's one also called ice cream I've had some experience with, but it tastes very similar to vanilla, kind of a creamy vanilla ice cream.
That's some clever marketing.
Yes, it's like a banana split on steroids. Right. And if you love the banana, you just say you don't want to mess with fruit. They have very many ornamental bananas, which is the red banana, which is very beautiful foliage. But a good amount of fertilizer. They're not particular about the fertilizer. Good water. And then out of the wind and creating that ornamental crop. I saw bananas on almost ready to be picked yesterday. And they're producing prolifically right now in this time of the year.
How would a banana do in a good-sized pot?
They can do really, actually, you know, bananas are, you know, the ornamental time, the red banana, the Siam red, the Thai black banana, they do great in containers. They're actually pretty drought resistant. You're just not going to get as much fruit as you would like to have. When you got that nice moist soil and rich soil, you're going to get a lot of fruit, you know.
How about sun exposure? How strong?
They want about a half day of sun, and they'll do great without. The more sun, of course, the heavier fruit load, more chlorophyll, all that.
Larry, knowing the Cavendish can do well in a pot.
Yes.
And half sun, I may just stick one out on my balcony when I transition to the condo.
Yeah. They're a great balcony plant. I mean, even if you don't want a fruiter, you know, you could go with a red banana. Actually, the foliage on that plant is some of the most beautiful foliage, on any plant that you can see. It's red, lime green, burgundy tones, and nice and broad.
I got to do one that fruits. There's no way I'm tending a pot that doesn't produce fruit.
Yeah, you can have Cavendish. You can have Cavendish or ice cream banana right on your back balcony.
You know the most famous banana tree in the world, in history. There's one banana tree in history.
Oh, no, don't tell me about it. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It has to do with your Navy background and my Navy background.
Yeah.
What is the most famous banana tree in history? What happened to it?
It got thrown over the side.
Who threw it over the side?
I can't remember. It was the executive officer. I forgot his name.
No, you're close. Ensign Pulver.
Oh, Ensign Pulver.
Who was the captain of the ship that raised the banana tree that aggravated Ensign Pulver and caused him to throw it over the side?
He always played the bad guy.
All over the world listening to us.
He always plays the bad guy. Cary Grant.
James Cagney.
James Cagney. Okay.
What was his name in the movie?
Yeah, James Cagney. I forgot.
Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Roberts. Yeah. James Cagney. I've watched that movie Ensign so many Pulver. Times, I can't believe I can't remember it.
Who played Ensign Pulver?
Man, you're a movie buff. Uh, I don't even have a TV. I give up.
All right. I hear the whole universe yelling the name Jack Lemmon.
Oh, yeah. Jack Lemmon. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, you got me on those.
Well, that's my why. See, yeah. I've blended wanting to grow with fruits that you suggest to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's a good thing. And
the banana has a lot of history.
Backstory. And out on my balcony, I have my very own Mr. Roberts.
You can name your banana Mr. Roberts. That's a great idea.
Hey, talking about bananas in tropical environment. If you remember last week on the live stream, I shared with you Marissa Scott checked in from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. She's checked in from the Philippines again today. So we are exactly all the way around the world.
Wow. You know, what's cool, if you have an area that's very out of the wind, you have to have it out of the wind. So you could plant more than one banana, kind of create a shade environment out of banana trees. And the largest banana that you could grow in our area is going to be the black banana. And it can actually support a 200-pound man climbing it. It will get around 20 to 30 feet, you know, so it's a, but you
is it fruiting?
Pardon me? Yeah, I believe it does fruit. But it had the unique thing about it is its trunk is black, you know, and it's a great looking tree, a banana tree when you get it up in size, you know, but yeah. It has to be in an area in Jacksonville or going down south that's cold protected and out of the wind in order to get the best results, you know.
Yeah, that'll work. My balcony's covered, Larry. It's probably at its peak. 8 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I could get the banana tree tall enough to fruit and not have that support.
Well, they have dwarf Cavendish. You have a dwarf Cavendish, so you can put it right in. That will, it thinks it only get me maybe a couple, maybe 5 feet.
Really neat and sweet housewarming gift. Just saying.
Oh, okay. I'll keep that in mind. Well, I would have known that in advance. I went to Miami this week, you know. But, I'll try to keep that in mind next time I see a dwarf Cavendish, you know, on the plant list, you know, when people are.
It's not terribly expensive, is it?
Bananas aren't. They're very, very inexpensive. Very inexpensive.
I mean,
the ornamental varieties are more expensive, you know, but the fruiting kind.
Fruit. That makes no sense.
Yeah, the fruiting kind are relatively inexpensive, you know, because they're in production, but the ornamental leaves types are going to be a little bit more. And some of the, you know, we were talking about tropical fruit, you know, some of the things we could, curcuma or turmeric, is what they make, get from curcuma ginger is another great plant. Tropical, you can grow, these are the tropical types that you can grow in our area if you love the tropical garden. But, you know, there's a lot of things you can't, but you can build a tropical garden with some of these plants, with the bananas, the several varieties, and you can make it large or small. Also, you can use curcuma ginger, which is, in my opinion, some of the unbelievable flowers of any plant, you know, rival the rose. I mean, as far as their beauty, and not only that, is that they last in the sun without any bleaching for a very, very long time. You're talking about one flower that could last on the plant maybe 2 weeks. It's like the bird of paradise, basically. The bird of paradise is very, very long-lasting flower.
Beautiful flower, too.
Oh, it is a beautiful flower. So you could add bird of paradise. You could add the banana. You could add any curcuma ginger, which they call them the tulip of Asia. You know, they're phenomenal. And then one of my favorite ones is the jewel of Siam, if you want the red color. But they basically come in pink, white, a light lavender, reds, and some oranges. And the flower stalk gets anywhere from 2 feet tall, which is well above the plant, or a little bit lower, you know, maybe about 1.5 foot tall. Or some of the flowers are actually inside of the plant, but, you know, lower within its leaves. But those plants are going to be easy to take care of. Even though they're tropical, you know, they'll burn to the ground. They'll come back every year, and just very, very, very dependable. I've never had any issues with them getting disease or anything like that.
Hey, I got a question for you.
And then you can eat the ginger. You can eat the make the roots into turmeric.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you see me waving my hands?
Can I see you waving your hands? No, I don't.
You know how when we're together in the station and it's 6:20?
Oh, yeah, you're flipping me off. You're giving me the finger and not flipping me off.
No, I'm waving my hands at you.
That'd be
shut up. This 6:20 here at News. Brief break, jumping right back on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Be right back. WOKV. You're listening to the Home and Garden Show. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here, enjoying the day together, taking your calls at 855-765-1045. Special day today. We're actually, I'm remote. I'm in Atlanta. I see Larry on our Facebook live stream at Home Pro Inspections. He's smiling. He's having a good time. He's kind of stretched out in the studio, taking up a little extra space. Got his very handsome blue shirt on with little, what are they, white butterflies?
It's yeah, a little white dots. Yeah, a little linen shirt. Mm-hmm.
That's very handsome.
Very stylish.
Should you like a stylish landscaper to assist you in your landscaping project, be it large or small, if you want only the design and you execute yourself, or you'd like a turnkey project that would include landscape, hardscape, driveways, pergolas. Really, your imagination is the limit. They have all employee staff to take care of everything. One call does it all. The website is larrysgarden.com. Got the blog, video, frequently asked questions, hundreds and hundreds of past projects you can get ideas from, so that when you initially meet, you'll have a real good insight into what some of those things are. And then if you like, just create something super crazy on your own. Get something unique going on. If you would like to use the telephone, Larry has one of those. That number is 346-1970. 346-1970. If you're outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, maybe you're down on Palm Coast. Heck, maybe you're up here in Atlanta. Who knows? You'll need the area code 904-346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. GoHomePro.com. Commercial building inspections, single family homes, condos. We do all sorts of environmental sampling for you should you need that, as well as getting your WDO inspection scheduled. And it's the home of the 18-month, holy smoly, 18-month home warranty, as well as the 5-year roof protection plan. Again, that email or website, gohomepro.com. The telephone, always happy to hear from you, 268-8211. If you're down in Palm Coast, Gainesville, South Georgia, 904-268-8211. And a reminder, too, if you'd like to just check into the station, we're always happy to hear from you, get you on air, which is exciting. That number is 855-765-1045. And again, with the wonders of modern technology, if you'd like to send us a picture or a video, we can see that, in real time, both in the studio in Jacksonville. I can see it up here at the remote location in Georgia. All you need to do is go to the Home Pro Inspections Facebook page, like the page while you're there. You can put your comment in there. You can put pictures in there, video. And for our real estate friends, we always welcome your opportunity to put your open houses. So if you've got an open house or just listed this weekend, stick that link in the live stream. People will see it all over the world. There are hundreds and hundreds of agents who monitor that stream. Marissa Scott checked in with me all the way already this morning from the Philippines. So she is waiting to see what you've got as a new listing. She's waiting in the Philippines. She'll coordinate with her buyers back in Jacksonville. We'll get that baby sold all through the wonders of modern technology. So anyway, and it makes it a lot of fun. And the other reason to check out the live stream, which I remind you, you can do at Home Pro Inspections on Facebook. You can do it at Mr. Home Inspection on YouTube or at Wally Conway on LinkedIn, is you can always find out what shirt Larry's wearing. He's quite the dapper guy. I wear the same shirt, my lucky broadcast shirt every Saturday. not Larry. He gets a new shirt.
Yeah, he was lucky broadcast shirt.
He's a fancy
guy. It's a little warm, believe me.
Yeah. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:37. Beautiful day in Jacksonville. It's a gorgeous morning. Sun's not quite up yet up here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm broadcasting live. Larry's holding the studio down. If you'd like to participate in any way, we'd love to hear from you at 855-765-1045. If you'd like to send us a picture or video, you can do so at the Facebook live stream at the Home Pro Inspections page, Mr. Home Inspection on YouTube, or Wally Conway at LinkedIn. Joining us now is a fine gentleman named Alan, who's got some issues with contaminated soil. Uh-oh. Alan, welcome to the show. What's contaminating your soil?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound perfect. Thanks.
Excellent. Yeah, I've got some places in my yard where grass won't grow. And through the wonders of Google Maps, I've been able to go back in history and see that previous homeowners had put things like 55-gallon drums of, you know, unknown items out there and stuff in the places that it's not growing. So my question for Larry is, how deep should I dig out that contaminated soil in order to get some good coverage with Bahia?
Bahia, I think probably around, about a shovel depth. And I put you around 10 inches. You know, just get a – that should work. That should work pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking, you know, are you sure that there are 55-gallon drums in that area? Are you absolutely positive? I'm just saying.
Yeah, I am. Like I said, I can actually see the pictures on the maps right now.
Yeah, you only need to move about maybe one shovel depth. Maybe if you wanted to do more, you know, two would be the most. But, you know, most the plants grow, Bahia, I think goes around 12 inches deep, 12 to 14. If you're going to plant, say, in Augustine, maybe a little deeper, just to say to cover all the bases, depends on the grass you put, I'd say two shovel depths, 24 inches.
You may consider testing that soil to find out what that contaminant was. Particularly,
yeah,
if you
know,
had any thought
I had a soil test
edibles.
For the pH and micronutrients, but I never did have it tested for the chemicals.
Yeah, that's... go ahead, Wally.
That concerns me, especially if you had a large number of drums. You have no earthly idea what that might have been done. And here you are some number of decades later.
Wow.
And nothing is growing.
Anything you plant there just dies immediately.
Well, it's just I haven't really planted anything there, but the grass is not filling in.
Yeah.
And I can see, like I said, these photos, not from decades ago, but like from 2011, yeah. 2007. I can see these drums out there exactly in the place where the grass ain't growing. Mm. And it's next to the driveway. I'm thinking it's, you know, gas, oil, things like that, automotive fluids that have contaminated the soil there.
Yeah, I think, you know,
it's,
go ahead, Wally.
Nuclear waste.
Waste, right. I think two shovel depths is all you need. That would be plenty. And
well,
then just backfill with some great topsoil and you should be in good shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to put some potting mix, I think, and then mulch it with some compost and hopefully the grass will fill it in.
Right, just get some seed, drop a few seeds in there. The only, you know, when the roots are going down, you know, on St. Augustine, not more than 24 inches, and then Bahia is close to that. Okay?
Yeah, real quick, so we're starting to get towards fall here.
Yep.
When do you recommend I start putting out some Bahia seed? Sometime mid-September, early October?
No, I'd start right now on small areas.
Really?
It's a warm weather grass. I mean, it likes the heat. You know, that's all the grasses we grow down here are warm weather. They'll germinate faster. You're getting that sun. You're getting the soil temperatures up. You know, soil temperatures are very important on seed germination. So, you know, when our soil temperatures are high like now, this you'll get the quickest in the germination. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, fellas, as a former Airedale, I wish I was a part of that Ensign Pulver and Mr. Robertson.
Did you have the answers, Alan? Were you ready to roll?
I was ready to roll, brother.
That's excellent. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
all the best, fellas. You have a great rest of the week, okay?
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a beautiful day. Larry, the one thing that does concern me,
yes,
you're talking about multiple 50-gallon drums, I think I'd send that out just to determine what chemical may have been in that soil. You just don't know.
Where would you send it to? You know, where you could, I mean, I know that testing for chemicals is very, or particular types of chemicals is difficult, you know, because you get you have to go through a whole process of testing.
Yeah.
Where would you send it to?
There's probably lots of places online you can send it. Local, we do lead and some other simple things that we have access to. But I would almost treat it more like a due diligence in a commercial building just because we don't know.
Yeah.
It's a national company with an office here in town called Apex Companies, Apex Consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And they do really elaborate stuff. The type of things they have the capability to do is like the shipyards, you know.
Yes.
Probably one of their soil consultants could give a little bit of insight and come up with a reasonably cost-effective way to screen for those things that would be most likely or most concerning. But you just don't know. I mean, was that guy doing that? Was it a one-time thing? Does he have seeping barrels there forever?
Mm-hmm.
Was he? There's so many crazy things that happen on the environmental side, and a lot of it has to do with the tremendous expense of disposing of chemicals. Some of those chemicals that could possibly be there, PCBs and other petrochemicals and whatnot, some of these things cost tens of thousands of dollars to dispose of a 50-gallon drum.
Yeah.
So somebody goes to Craigslist, finds some guy to haul something away. The guy's not sure what to do with it. He stores it in his yard for a bit. It leaks. Those are the kind of truly wild card, crazy environmental risks that you bump into.
I read an article about the mafia. Was, you know, they're in the trash business. They had taken trash, you know, there was for X amount of dollars a ton to dump. And they were taking in toxic stuff and charging people, you know, unbelievable amount. And they were dumping in the regular trash, you know.
Happens. One of the things that we offer, we actually do this on every single home inspection, just most folks don't end up reading it.
Yeah.
We have a proprietary product that we lease called a neighborhood environmental report. And what that does, in the commercial universe, there's something called a phase one environmental assessment that's regulated by ESTM and the EPA. But anyway, it's a database search and an on-site inspection. So what the neighborhood environmental search does, it is the data portion of a phase one environmental screening. It's very inexpensive. It's $99. But it looks for Superfunds, known meth houses. It accesses 6 or 10,000 national and local databases to determine what has happened at that address. And then it goes out a quarter mile and then a half mile. So, you know, what's going on around me? And maybe it makes small sense. In this case, it's inexpensive. But we do that on every single house, and we're always doing that on the commercial building side where it's a much bigger deal. It's interesting, too, in commercial, almost always the lender requires that environmental assessment. And one of the big boogaboos they're always fearful of is dry cleaning plants and the chemicals associated are very, very intense. And interestingly, one of the things that makes the solvents, especially the older solvents from dry cleaning, so crazy is they're heavier than water. So a lot of pollutants that get into the ground, they migrate down as it rains. It gets into the groundwater, mm-hmm. which isn't really a good thing, other than then it dissipates it. Well, with these many dry cleaning and other chemicals, but principally these dry cleaning chemicals, because they're heavier than water, when they migrate through the soil and get to the groundwater, rather than be whisked away and absorbed by the water, they actually fall through the water and continue the contamination below the groundwater. So when you start hearing about the ungodly amounts of money it costs to clean up some of these brownfields.
That's hundreds
and hundreds of truckloads of dirt hauled away. It's because in some cases, depending on the blend and mix and cocktail of chemicals, they're actually digging below the groundwater until they get to clear, clean soil. They could go down some cases, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 feet. It's mind-boggling, some of the things that happened up, you know, through the 60s. And the liability of chemical contamination on land or in the building is inescapable. Mm-hmm. If you purchased the property and you didn't do your due diligence, you own the cost of remediation. And it's one of the big risks for developers is you purchase a plot of dirt, you think you're going to build a neighborhood on it, and through the due diligence process, you discover it's actually contaminated. The cost to remediate may far exceed the future profit of a built-out neighborhood. And the even worse thing is, if you already own the property, you own the remediation, you own the risk. So it could be it has no safe use other than industrial, yet the zoning precludes industrial, and you've just essentially donated a green space or a brown space to the neighborhood. It's a high risk game.
Yes.
Rarely does that risk fall upon the individual homeowner. The due diligence system is aggressive, but in a physical sense, if you discover you have this problem, it's not a good thing. Which is the reason we screen for it all the time. So it's called a neighborhood environmental report. If you want to learn a little bit about it, and go to the website gohomepro.com. Just click through the environmental section and you can get a whole backlog. We also have access at that same place to the sheriff's list of meth houses, which is the giant gotcha in residential real estate, especially for my friends who are house flippers. If you inadvertently purchase a meth house, you've got a gargantuan problem on your hands to get that decontaminated and off of the sheriff's list. Not a good thing.
Never purchase a meth house. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it happens. It's awful. Even worse, I don't know. Another phenomenal risk of the meth is every now and then, we hear it on the news, that somebody decided to cook meth in a hotel. And that shuts down basically the entire hotel.
Wow.
Until the guys in spacesuits have done the decontamination. Very unpleasant. And even more unpleasant, if you're in the hotel when the meth bust occurs, what you want to do is grab your stuff and leave. Because if you have your clean underwear in the hotel and you're not in the hotel and they essentially quarantine it for decontamination, you've got no clean undies. You've got nothing. Yeah.
This is going to have to go commando.
Which I don't mind. It's 6:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got a brief break. We're jumping right back on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. 6:56 here, a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida. Gorgeous sunrise occurring now in Atlanta. Looking out of my hotel room here, we got the full moon rising as the sun, or full moon setting as the sun is rising. And for my friends who are astrologists or other such things, it might not truly be full, but it's a big round moon. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. We'd love to have you check in with us at 855-765-1045. If you need Larry during the week, you might just go to the website, larrysgarden.com. Got everything you need there to have a beautiful time. And if you are one of the approximately 600 people who will be purchasing a home in Northeast Florida this week, or Southeast Georgia for that matter, about 600 people are going to buy houses, and a good 10 or 15% of those will have the fortunate opportunity to make the wonderful decision. They'll have their loving real estate agent refer them to Home Pro Inspections, at which time they would go to gohomepro.com or call the phone number 268-8211. What's the most exciting thing you got going on next
week?
Well,
it's the watermelon season. You can get your second crop of watermelon in right now.
Oh,
you know?
Nice.
Doesn't everybody love watermelon? I mean, it's a great – I mean, I've never had turned ice cold watermelon served in the summer. Is the greatest thing, especially in the summer, the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, you can grow your own, have your kids grow your own, and then it's easy to grow. This temperature, they love the temperature. So the second season now is starting, so you plant watermelon. And I got a recipe for you, Wally. When you're done eating your watermelon, I want you to grind up the peel. The peel has a very healthy chemical in it that's very good for you. Watermelon, I never thought watermelon was so healthy for you, but it's called citrullus. And citrulline is very important chemical. But you can scrape the white peeling, grind it up, and, you know, you boil it down, you add a little bit of lemon, and it's a natural Viagra. <You know? laughs> Yes, they were talking about it. So if you need a little help saving money, you know what I mean, there you are right there. You can a second use of watermelon, you know what I mean?
But that's not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing, right? And the best variety that grows in Florida, really, no kidding, is called Sugar Baby. So, you know, grow your own watermelon. Second use is the watermelon peel, and it's healthy for you. It unclogs all the veins. And
I'll take that under advisement.
Take that under advisement.
659 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, then more of the Home and Garden Show. Featuring you. Love to hear from you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:07 in Jacksonville, Florida. It's also 7:07 in Atlanta, Georgia, where I am joining Larry and broadcasting live from. Larry's holding the fort down in the studio. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to the Home and Garden Show. The Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 a.m. until 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden, who brings us 20-plus years toiling in the soil so we can chat about and have insights on all things in, on, around, under, and about the house. That is the lawn, garden, hardscape, landscape. Meanwhile, Lee Conway bringing you 20-plus years crawling in attics and crawl spaces, sharing with you the insights and ideas that we've learned over that bit of time. What makes the show fun for us, though, is you. Love to have your input, your calls, your questions, your commentary, or just say hi at 855-765-1045. And a shout out and a thank you to those listening at WOKV.com, the WOKV app, our live stream of the show, which appears on Facebook at Home Pro Inspections, on YouTube at Mr. Home Inspection, and on my individual LinkedIn page. So we have people joining us from all over the world. It's been exciting. We're always inviting our real estate friends to post their open houses in any of those live streams so that our friends, family, and loyal fans can see what you're doing, and you can get those homes sold quicker. I'd like to welcome Susan to the Home and Garden Show and see how we can help her with her grass. Susan, welcome. What's up with your grass?
Good morning. I have St. Augustine grass. It was planted in 2006 when I moved into the development here. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the runners in my backyard, they have roots on them, but they're not attaching to the soil. Well, I don't know what's going on there.
Well, you either have Pythium or you either or take all root. Take all root rot. That's normally the sign that you have soil disease in your lawn. And what is happening is that the, not in every case, but in a lot of cases, 90% of the cases, but the roots are growing down into the soil, and the disease is attacking the roots, and they're releasing, okay? And they're growing out over the soil. As a runner grows out of the soil, the roots are getting damaged. And you should probably notice that there's a lot of beige thatching, you know, where there's a lot of dead leaves, not necessarily yellow, but just kind of taunty beige leaves it mixed in with the grass, with the green grass. Okay. And that, or open areas, do you know to have any of those areas in your lawn?
I have. Is it recoverable, or am I going to have to resod the whole half, well, actually the half lawn, because half of it looks fine, but the other half just looks really bad.
Well, it has to be treated for, the soil has to be treated, and you know, we're experts in taking care of that ourselves, so you can always give us a call, but the soil has to be treated. So in regard, let me just tell you, this one case was a very interesting thing. This guy had, you know, gotten some letters from ARB, had problems with his lawn, and we treated his lawn. I says, well, I know what you got to take all root rot. You really can't plant grass back there. You're going to have a problem. Again, so he hired us to treat his lawn, and the day that we started treating his lawn, treating the actual his soil, the day we started treating the soil, the next door neighbor had the same problem. They were planting the new lawn. They were planting the new lawn. And we, when we got done with the sequence of treatments, which takes several applications and then trying to correct the soil, the new lawn that the neighbor planted was dead. You know, and we just, you know.
There's not anything I can treat. I have to get a company to come out here and treat it, correct?
You can give us a call. You know, Larry's, you can give me a call, 346-1970. It, you know, is it treatable by the homeowner? Yes. Have I ever had any homeowners successfully treat it? Even though I've given them instructions, no, they have never, you know.
I okay, mean, all right.
So, you know, but
so it's kind of a wasted effort if I try and do it. Okay, I got you.
I think, but you can get it solved. You can get it solved, and then the area that's really damaged, it's probably going to die, and then just replace that area. But you want to make sure you get the situation corrected before you put any new grass in there, because no matter how many times you plant new grass, every time it's going to die again.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks, Larry.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And for sure, the cost of the diagnostic and treatment, you'll spend way less than your neighbors continuing to spend doing more and more and more.
More and more. That was incredible. I mean, that stuff died fast. I mean, when we treated like twice, three times his soil because he had a little bit of an issue, more difficult to get rid of. And the last time when we came to finally replace the grass, the neighbor's grass was dead, you know.
Yeah.
It happens so quick. The new grass dies faster than the older grass because you're cutting that grass, exposing all those roots, and they all have wounds on it, and you're placing it down on diseased soil, and then boom, it immediately affects the other grass.
Write another check.
Yes.
Let's check in with Sue and see if we can help her with her choices to pressure wash her roof. Welcome, Sue.
Hello, thank you. I have had some trees recently removed that were evidently shadowing the roof and overhanging the roof, and there's some mildew streaks on there, and I wondered if it was advisable to have it pressure washed, or will the sun eventually take care of that? It's really not all that bad, but it's very noticeable since the trees are gone.
Well, that staining is doing no damage at all. It's strictly a cosmetic. You may let it go for a little bit and then see if it doesn't bleach right out with the sun, which is free and no risk of any damage. If you decide you'd like to accelerate that process, you can do that. I'm always fearful of amateurs and pressure washers destroying roofs. I had a guy on my TV show a couple of weeks ago from a company called Ultra Soft Wash. And they use an application of a very, very low pressure. It coats the roof, it cleans the roof, and they do something really interesting. They always work in a two-man crew. So, and they're immensely conscious of what products they use and its impact on your landscape. So depending on what landscape you have, they'll even cover, first they water all the plants so that they get that, so they're not absorbing any of the liquid. Then they cover them, and they're just super conscientious about, yes, getting that roof nice and clean, but also assuring they've not streaked anything, damaged anything, and made a mess. So Ultra Soft Wash was the name of that.
Okay, well, I'll write that down, but I appreciate it. I think I might just wait and see what happens.
If it doesn't
look too bad, I'm just going to leave it. Also, I wanted to mention to Larry, I have a little lemon tree that's about, maybe 3 feet tall, and it has three lemons on it. And yesterday I have probably a half a dozen or more new blooms on it.
Wow. Great.
So,
you know, lemon trees, you know, they'll bloom on and off all through the season. Yeah, and you'll get another little crop going.
Okay, and these should not be, if they do mature, when would they be They're not going to cover it in the winter, huh?
Yeah, they'll make it. They'll probably make it. We're not going to have probably, I don't think the weather forecast that we're going to have another light winter, so they're going to probably make it to be ready for in end of December. You know what I mean? They'll be ready by then.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Sue. Good luck with it. The pressure wash. Just avoid the word pressure.
Oh, yeah. When they say pressure wash, you know, you says, you know, rinsing, it would be better way to rinse the roof off with the light chemical bleach or some, what was that? Yeah. What is that? Wet it and forget it. You know, it's another.
Yeah.
Good chemical for removing debris.
At least they sponsor the show. I don't know where they went.
Yeah. Well, they're making money now. They don't need us anymore.
That could have been it. Hey, I wanted to share with you my adventure up here in Atlanta. Yeah. Having a wonderful time. I've been invited to join a mastermind group of the most successful home inspection companies around the country. Some of these guys are doing 5,000 to 10,000 inspections a year. We're going from California, from Canada, from here in Atlanta, all over the place. And it's really interesting when you get bright, successful people together and share best practices. You know, what are you doing to best serve the customer? What are you doing to make it easier for the customer to schedule? What are you doing? Even things like managing complaints. You know, when someone says, hey, we've got a complaint, what are you putting in place to help make that customer whole again? So I've got Ryan from my staff up here with me, Brad up here with me, and we're immersing in making the company better, so that we can perform better, not just the services in the field, which we continue to refine the process again and again and again, but also, you know, how about the office staff? How about the service afterwards? So it's been eye-opening seeing some of the creative things that people are doing. One of the new things we've already instituted, we just haven't shared it much or marketed, is sewer scoping cameras. And it's really interesting. You know, once you flush your toilet, If what you did goes away, you don't give it much thought. Here's a quiz for you. You're good at my quizzes.
Oh, God.
What is the single most expensive piece of pipe in every home?
The drain. The drain air. It's
the sewer line from the outside of the house to the street or the outside of the house.
Buried in dirt.
It's underground and it's full of roots and stuff. Maybe poo. But anyway, it's
can that be successfully cleaned out if you get roots in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And so here's what we're able to do now, thanks to the wonders of modern technology, using the sewer scope, doing nothing destructive. It begins at the roof and go right down the vent stack and can snake the camera 100 feet, basically all the way to the street. So if there's any roots, if there's any breaks, if there's any clogs, if there's any collapses, we can know that, which is important. And why it's so important is it's not covered by any insurance. It's not a homeowner's insurance issue. Many people think it's JEA's responsibility. It is no one's responsibility. It falls all on the homeowner to dig that baby up and repair and replace. So once we run that camera down there, we can know that it will flow correctly, which is a good thing. And if there's a problem, we're able to tell exactly what the problem is and exactly where it is. The camera is sufficiently sophisticated that it tells us how many feet down the pipe it is.
Mm-hmm.
So when the plumber is called in to make that repair, we can isolate exactly where they need to dig, saving a lot of destruction. Wouldn't want to mess up your landscaping, as well as a lot of money. Here's a really cool thing that we've been able to do. If we've is using the sewer guard program that will pay up to $2,500 to repair or replace the sewer line. Normally on every inspection we do, that's good for 6 months. The people have the option to extend it. If we've done the sewer scope, it's one full year of protection, and then they can extend it if they want to. So hanging around these really smart business owners, men, women, and professionals we bring in to consult with us, it's just constantly looking for ways to bring people peace of mind and comfort and dramatically reduce the risk of home ownership, one through discovery and then through the protective warranty services we put behind it, like the 18 months. So that's why I'm not sitting next to you.
Okay, that's no problem. I'll have a little weekend break. Hey, that's great. You know, having sewer, you know, talking about that, you know, and sewer lines, you know, getting clogged up, you know, because drainage lines, when you have drainage lines in your property, let's say you have a lot of ponding water or your downspouts, you have, you know, we live in Florida. We get, it's Jacksonville is one of the rainiest cities in the country, in the top 10, I think. And we're getting like 54, 55 inches of rain a year. Yeah. So water is a big issue here. And getting it away from your house and getting not standing around your house in puddles in your yard or in your driveway, or you're just trying to get rid of the water to drain to the right area, it can be a problem growing your grass properly. You know, there's just all kinds of issues. You know, but when, you know, the drainage line, you know, or French drain always will alleviate that problem. We even have some drainage lines where our drainage issues where we put alongside of the house where the water is actually perking up to the concrete and perking into the or coming into the house, but or into the sun porch. We've done those. But the issue is if you have in an area where you have a lot of trees, and trees are wonderful, they provide shade, they cool your property, they provide value. You know, a large oak tree, you know, help you sell your property, adds value to the house. But the problem is all those leaves, all those branches, all those seeds, all that debris going into that drain line or the catch basin or into the into your gutter line. But eventually it's going to take that the drain line, a corrugated drain line, and it's going to clog it up. And I've dug up all kinds of corrugated drain lines and being impacted 20, 30 feet of solid leaves, you know, over a period of time. The good thing, if say, for instance, if I was buying a house and if I wanted to put a drain line in and avoid that clogging and having to deal with that and putting another one in say 7 or 10 years or 8 years, or I get have a lot of leaves maybe even before that, is to put in Schedule 40. And Schedule 40 is a, you know, smooth wall.
Yeah, more rigid.
Rigid wall, very thick wall pipe. And what the advantage that has is because it's the material slides more easily on it. Okay. It's not going to get impacted. Of course, it's more expensive, but it's think of it more as a permanent fix. Even with a catch basin, which are inherently a problematic, and putting a catch basin in areas that have trees because the leaves go in there. And even though they have a area that's below that where the silt and the debris is supposed to go into it, and you're able to clean it out at a lower than the actual pipe event where it vents out, it's still going to get the debris in there. I mean, I've dug up all of them. But the advantage of using Schedule 40 is that you can put clean outs along your drain line. It's just like,
do you see me waving my arms at you?
No. Oh my gosh. I just looked at the clock. Okay.
It's 7:23 here at News 104.5 on a Home and Garden Show.
Okay.
Brief break, jumping right back on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Yeah, surfing here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And welcome on back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:28. I really like that music. That got me feeling good. I like that a lot. You're listening to the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. If you're looking for landscaping during the week, or you're looking for a consultation, design, hardscape, landscape, larrysgarden.com. Got everything you need there to get you excited about toiling in the soil. And if you get real excited and realize, I don't want to do all that work, you might just give Larry a call. That phone number is 346-1970. Outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, 904-346-1970. Or the website, larrysgarden.com. Looking for all the right answers and decisions in your home buying process? Consider Home Pro Inspections. Over 25 years, over 25,000 inspections, and over $25,000 in after-inspection warranty protection. All the details on that are at GoHomePro.com. Also, we've got operators standing by. They're not just operators. They're wonderful people standing by, taking your calls to get yourself scheduled so you can be protected. That number is 268-8255. 1-1 if you're in Palm Coast, Gainesville, Southeast Georgia, other areas outside of immediate Jacksonville area, and you have made the right decision to have a Home Pro inspection, that number would be 904-268-8211. 729 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got once again for you Fox News traffic and weather, then right back to us live at the Home and Garden Show. I am broadcasting live in Atlanta. Larry's there with you in Jacksonville. Love to have your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back.
Yeah, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 738 here at 104.5. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, enjoying the day together. Me in Atlanta, Larry right down there in Jacksonville. I'll be back in studio next week, but with the wonders of modern technology and our awesome engineer, Scott, we are able to have this great fun together, even though we're not in the same place. Let's head on down to St. John's, check in with Rick, who'd like to become a home inspector. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. Rick, tell us about it.
Actually, we lost Rick. Rick had to clock out for a second, so I'm hoping he'll give us a call back.
Okay, so Rick checked out. He won't become a home inspector this week. Let's go to Melrose and see if we can help Joe with his hydro seeding.
Hello,
how are you?
Hi, Joe. Welcome. Tell us about your project.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I have about 2.5 acres between Keystone Heights and Melrose, Florida. And what I was highly impacted back when Hurricane Irma came through. I'm assuming we had a tornado because I had 7 sizable trees down, and it took them coming in with heavy equipment to get all that out of there. And what happened was it totally destroyed all of my St. Augustine turf. So the following spring, I had a professional type person come in, and the idea was for economics was to seed the property with centipede.
Yes.
So they came in and they killed off what vegetation was there with Roundup, waited, 6 weeks or whatever, and they did the seeding. And by the time we had started irrigating it into the later spring, proper amount of water to keep the seeds moist, the turf was so eat up with chamber bitters and dove grass that the seeds just got choked out and the seed never ever came up.
Wow.
So fast forward another year, I repeated the process with another gentleman who hydro seeded it with zoysia.
Yes.
And I got the same problem. And so I asked him, I said, what are you going to do about all these? And he put millet in with the seeds to have some kind of a weed retardant factor.
Yeah.
So I asked him as it started progressing with more weeds coming in, I said, what do I do? He said, just let it go. He said, we'll deal with that later. And here I am in August, and I don't see how I could possibly have any seeds growing because the turf is just nothing but root systems from these weeds. So tell me what's wrong.
Well, I mean, have you looked down real closely? There's no zoysia at all?
Well, I'm not an expert enough to know what I'm looking for.
Well, okay. Well, you'd have to look. You could. This is what I'd do, sir. I'd take a close up of your supposed turf or this hydro seed area. Take 3 or 4 pictures. Yeah, that's around 6 to 4 inches away from the soil, and send it to host@larrysgarden@gmail.com. And I can give you some advice on that. But this is a great question. You know, I always think this is a good question about, you know, how to seed a lawn and how to start a lawn, you know, when you got a large area. And the best way to do that, I found over, you know, years and years of doing it, and also it applies to managing large flower beds, large perennial gardens where you're planting over 1/2 acre of herbaceous or flowering plants. How do you control the weeds when you know, you're doing everything, you're prepping the soil, you're putting fertilizer in. I've planted so many large gardens, you know, flower gardens that the weeds immediately take off, you know, and they're going to grow faster than the other plants, and then you got a weed mess. The best way to do that is to get some good sterile soil, you know, or semi-sterile. I use, you know, composted soil, and it's pretty sterile. It's pretty sterile. You put about 3 to 4 inches layer on top of this existing soil, and then you seed that. And what that does, that soil is going to create a barrier, you know, a sunlight barrier. It's going to bury the seeds, and the seeds won't germinate if they don't have light. So that gives you that buffer there. It's a little bit more work, of course, but you've already spent all the money that you would have needed to do that originally. So that's the best way to approach it. You know, if that's if you wanted to make it go a little longer, or to, you know, put maybe only 2 inches of soil down, you know, you could, I don't know how much time you got, you always lay some type of weed barrier underneath the soil, and that would give you some more added protection against the weeds taking off. This is, I find, the best method to start lawns with seed, or to start large planting areas which have had a lot of weed seed. And every cubic foot of weed seed, every cubic foot of dirt, there's approximately 500 weed seeds that are laying dormant for 7 years. And any type of sunlight and water, and you try to cultivate the good stuff, then the other stuff is going to be faster than the stuff that you want to grow, and that's always a problem. So creating some type of a barrier is always good, or you know, you could always use some soil sterilant, but you'd be done for. You couldn't plant anything there again for probably 6 months to 8 months. You'd be done planting there because that would sterilize. You could solarize the areas. You could do that approach too, that you would take plastic and cover. I don't know how large your area is, but
I think I've got somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 square feet that needs to be seeded with grass.
8,000 to 10,000 square feet is manageable. That's only about you know, that's a manageable manageable.
About a quarter acre.
Yeah, a quarter acre. That's manageable. We're actually doing a half acre ourselves. We're doing a half acre. And this is, they wanted to save money, and we're going to do it this way. And we're seeding it. But the first thing we're doing, what we are doing, and I know it's going to be successful, is to bring in some good dirt that's, you know, 90% sterile. And I've used this dirt before. I backfilled into a property that I'm working on right now, and backfilled the whole area. And it's been sitting there now for about 30 to 40 days, and there's hardly any weeds growing in it. I mean, if I had another area that I cleaned out and prepped it and let it sit for 30, 40 days, it'd be a weed pit again, you know. So because all the seed now is up to the surface, but this is pretty much no weeds. So, you know, cover that area first with 3 to 4 inches of topsoil, good quality topsoil. If you want to get some advice where to get it, you can always give me a call. And then grade it out really carefully, and then hydro seed over the top of that. And you're going to have success, sir. You'll have success that way. All right?
So what I'm hearing here is if you put enough sterile soil over the existing turf.
Yeah.
Then you can see, then you will not have the reoccurrence of these weeds that I guess are coming from down underneath.
It's the weed seeds that are on the surface. It's, you know, because you look at one plant like crabgrass, and you look at getting ready to flower, and it's seeding, and one little stem's got, you know, 400 seeds on it. So, I mean, 100 seeds. Let's say if it has 100 seeds, and then you've got five flowers or five branched flowers or grass seed stems, you got 500 seeds. And that one plant's produced 500 seeds and it's dropped in your garden. Let's say if you only get like 50% success rate in germination, which is going to be better than that in crabgrass, you know, once you start watering, you got, you know, 250 new plantlets or seedlings of crabgrass growing there. It's impossible for you to control this, you know, without doing what I say, because I've done you know, lots and lots of landscaping. And when I first started doing landscaping 30 years or 20 years ago, you know, people hire me to do the job. I clean out, very fastidious about removing all the weeds and spraying Roundup and everything like that. But you forget about the weed seed that's been deposited. And so, you know, just let it open an area of your St. Augustine get open for 1 month, and you have a weed pit right there in that one little area, because all the seed, the St. Augustine is blocking the light, aggressively competing with the seed, you know, at that point where it's blocking the light. So it breaks down, it halts germination. But once it opens up, then you got a little sprout of a weed field right there in the middle of the St. Augustine. But this will work if you get the right dirt, and it's good quality, and it's composted, and it, you know, it's going to be, there's no 100% sterile dirt, you know, 100%. You know, there's no point in trying to do that. I mean, I guess if you put a limited amount of money and resources in it, you could probably get it to 100% or close to it. But, you know, get that over there, spread it out on top, and this will work. It will work.
Master gardeners told me that you could take three cycles 6 weeks apart of Roundup and break the cycle of the weed seed. Is there any truth to that?
And we control the three cycles every 14 days to break the cycle. I'm not quite understanding. I kind of understand what you do is you want to water, water, water. This is another thing people do when they're unsuccessful at controlling weeds, is they'll turn the water off. Well, you want all the weeds to germinate. You know, so if you want to control the weeds, you want to continue watering, getting all the seeds to germinate. You know, once you get them all germinated, then you spray with some herbicide, spray with the herbicide, preventing them from flower, water, water, water. Also, when you're using Roundup, it increases the success of the Roundup, because Roundup is a metabolic poison. So the poison has to be in the system and has to be circulating to the system. But when the plant is droughted, it's not absorbing anything. It closes off all of its pores, so it can conserve water. So if it's conserving water, all the pores are closed off. It can't absorb as much Roundup. That's why you spray. I can spray 2,4-D on St. Augustine, which would be lethal in the middle of the summer, or even when the temperature is around 80 degrees or 70 degrees, would kill the St. Augustine. But I can spray it on in the winter, and guess what happens? Nothing. I can put bricks on a grass during the winter, put a pile of bricks on grass during the winter. Come back in 1 week and pick it up. And guess what? There's nothing dead, because the grass is dormant. It's dormant. See, that's what you got to do if you're going to do that. You got to successfully manage the water. You're going to have to water, 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 cause germination. Then you also want the weeds to be growing actively when you apply the Roundup. Well, that way it won't be as successful as the covering it, but it is a way to do it. And you got to figure, you got to spray three times to be 14 days apart.
Well, they told me to do it 6 weeks apart each time. I thought that was a little bit long.
No, that's not. You'll get germination. So you'll get any broadleaf weeds or any grass weeds are going to germinate within 14, maybe you want to go 21 days. 21 days would be a long germination period, but 21 days, it doesn't make sense to me, because if in fact that was correct information, your grass in 6 weeks, if you're having a cycle where the weeds would be up and growing in 6 weeks, your grass would be germinated in less time than that and up and growing and looking better, pretty decent in after a month and a half. So that's not good information.
They were talking about doing this way before this. This was in January. You'd start the process of the seed, breaking the seed cycle, and then in late
January,
May they were
ineffective. So they're not giving you good information, sir, because January, the temperature is cold, and they're not. Well, I just explained to you that I spray, I can spray Roundup. It's not going to be as effective in January as it is in March because of the temperature. The temperature makes the herbicide more effective, and I also can make it more negative, because as the temperature goes up, the herbicide becomes more negative even on the plants that you're that you're trying to protect or get to conserve versus the ones that you're trying to get rid of. So the
you've got a heck of a challenge there for sure.
Right.
Gotta let you go, Joe. Good luck.
Sure. Well, okay, what was the website? I mean, your email address.
You can get hostoflarrysgarden@gmail.com.
Okay, I got it. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, then.
Thank you. It's 7:52 here at News 104.5 WOKV. Freak Craig jumping right back to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Home and Garden Show 7:57 here at News 104.5. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspection. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. You know, Larry, I was thinking during the last break, I was listening to Mark Kinder at Affordable Water, my go-to guy, as you know, for all things water related, about their demand metering system for water softening. And it's so important that when you're considering treating your water, any type of water treatment, that you do good diagnostics on the water. So soft water is defined as water with less than 1 gram per gallon of calcium and magnesium. That's what makes the water hard. And that term hard came from hard to clean, meaning the water didn't work well to clean stuff when it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the government measures hardness of water in this grains per gallon, less than 1 gram per gallon means soft water. Anything above that means hard water. At the top of the scale, defined as extremely hard water, is 14 grains per gallon. Average in Jacksonville, as you know, 17. So what's this thing about ion exchange? The only way to soften water is through this ion exchange process that exchanges and removes the calcium and or magnesium from the water to make it soft. Now, if you're concerned about sodium in water, for one, there's no reason to be. What they're able to do at Affordable Water through this demand metering is it, for in layman's terms, and I'm sort of a layman as it relates to this, Mark Kinder's the expert at Affordable Water, they are able to know the system measures the hardness of the water essentially and only reinvigorates using the salt or regenerates using the salt when it's time. What's the value and benefit of that? It makes the salt use absolutely at its minimum, which saves you money. And if you had the concern about any inducement of a small amount of sodium, it is the smallest amount
possible. Small amount of sodium. So people overhype about the worry about that stuff.
Yeah, it's crazy. And if you were on a super restrictive sodium diet or you just had an emotional fear or concern of sodium, you can make the choice to do a potassium-based salt. Still with the same metered system. So then you're getting the health benefits and that's thought to reduce blood pressure and other good things. Affordable Water Jacks, it's all about the expertise. It's all about the diagnostics and that absolute understanding. The only way to soften water is ion exchange. The only way to have ion exchange is with the use of salt. When the salt is in a metered system, it's minimized, and the sodium can be at absolute zero through the use of potassium, no change in taste or expense or other issue. So that was important to me to remind you of that. Hey, I've enjoyed being here in Atlanta, Larry. Thanks for holding things down in the studio. It's 8 a.m.
Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for being with us. Have a beautiful day.
Have a great
and that
weekend.
Reminder, as I'm driving home from Atlanta to Jacksonville, I will be using my turn signal.
If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJacks.com.